You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
Let's get into it. Today we're going to talk about knowing God's will. You ever been lost before? Right? You know what I mean? That's a dumb question. Of course you have. Some of us are prone to get lost more often than others. Of course, I'm speaking of myself, because if you know me, if we're acquainted, you know that anytime I walk into a room, I have the look on my face of like a little lost puppy dog, right? Because while many people come with an internal GPS that works, mine came broken, okay? And I don't know how to get from point A to point B, even when I've taken that route 1,000 times over. So a couple years ago, my wife and some friends, we went to Italy, right? And I was a designated navigator person, right? Mistake, obviously. And so I have my Google Maps open or whatever. We're in Rome. We're trying to find a way to the Roman Colosseum. And we're following the directions. I'm leading the way. All right, we need to walk this way. Take this left turn. Take this right turn. We're walking and we're walking and we're walking. And we are just like no closer to the Colosseum. And so my wife gently, kindly is like, babe, maybe we should ask for help. And I'm like, babe, I'm a man. I don't ask for help. And so we keep walking. And we keep going, and eventually, after another hour or so, I lose. We ask a local Italian for help, and she's like, oh, Google Maps doesn't work here. You need to get this other app. So she directs us to this new app. We download it, and it's like, hey, you are on the opposite side of Rome from the Colosseum. Okay, so we walk for 2 hours for nothing. It gets us there, no problem, right? Like, we download the app, we find the bus route. Within 15 minutes, we've made it to the Colosseum. We found all the bus routes. It was easy. The reason I share this story is because I think that a lot of us are wandering through life like I was through Italy that day. Okay, we know what we want. Like, we know we have an idea of what we want. We want purpose. We want meaning. We want great relationships. We want joy. We want to look back on our lives in 50 years and say, I had a great life. We think we know how to get there, right? Like, we have an idea. We've probably had something modeled to us growing up. We might have seen something on the internet, something like that. But the reality is that a lot of us are hopelessly lost and unwilling to ask for help. We think we know what we're doing. We think we're navigating to our destination. But in reality, we have no idea where we're going. And we really need help. We need to ask someone who knows what they're doing to give us help. Last week, we read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God, and he will make your paths straight. Yes, God wants to give you a direction in life. God has a plan for your life. He wants to give you direction. He does not want you to walk through this life aimlessly, directionless, lost, confused, in the dark. He wants you to move forward with confidence, with purpose. He has a plan for you. Okay, Proverbs 20, verse 24. So the person's steps, they're directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? Yeah, God has a direction for you. God has a plan for you, for your life. This is echoed in the New Testament. Ephesians 2:10 says, we're God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Long ago, God created plans for you, right? He has a plan for you. Think about that. That is a remarkable promise that the all-powerful God of the universe who created the entire material universe that we can see and observe. He thought about you and said, I have purposeful work for you to do in this life. The God who knows everything, the end from the beginning from the end, he looked at you and he said, I have a plan for you. I have fulfilling, incredible work for you to do. I mean, that is a remarkable promise that the Bible makes, that the king of the universe would look at us and he would say, I want to change eternity through you. That's crazy. That is a crazy promise from God. But it is maybe just as crazy that we don't have to follow it. We have the freedom to choose against God. Proverbs 19, 21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. When Solomon speaks of the Lord's purpose, it's God's overarching purpose, right? Like, think what we just studied in Revelation. No matter what you or I do, God is going to accomplish what he set out to accomplish in Revelation, and we cannot do anything to stop that. However, when it comes to God's purpose for your life and whether or not that is accomplished, that is entirely within your control. And whether or not you are going to agree with God and say yes to him. Many are the plans within a person's heart. Which one are you going to follow? Are you going to follow God's or not? Now, if you are interested in following God's will, of course, many of the aspects of God's will, they're like abundantly clear. I mean, they're just spelled out clearly for us in scripture. If you're like sitting here and you're thinking, you know, man, what am I going to do after this teaching? I wonder if I should go like punch some babies after this teaching. Dude, like I'll punch you, right? Like, what are you talking about? It's crazy. Why would you even suggest something like that? That's ridiculous. Similarly, if you're like, you know, positively like, huh, I wonder if God loves me. I wonder if God wants a relationship with me. You don't have to wonder. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all men to be saved. That includes you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you. God died for you. God earnestly desires, more than anything, for you to reach out to him and ask for a relationship with him. He totally wants that from you. If you've never done that, you should do that. You should do it now. Reach out to God, tell him you want a relationship with him. It'd be the best thing you could do. You don't have to wonder about that. He's made it clear. But there are many very important decisions that we have to make in life that are very difficult to understand, right? Some things are very unclear. Things like, where should I live, okay? There's no Bible verse to tell you, like you're here right now, in you're Columbus, you're studying in Ohio State or Columbus State or whatever, but like down the road, should you live in Chicago, Columbus, Seattle, you know, London? Like there's no Bible verse that tells you where you should live. What major should you get? What career should you pursue? What job should you take when you graduate? How do you decide between the different ones? We just don't know. Who should you date? Okay, hot shot, like you got a ton of options, right? Jeez, right? Who should I date? I don't know. I'll have to pick one. Should I marry my significant other? You're just not going to get a Bible verse about that, right? I mean, there's nothing just explicit about these different things. So these are examples of complex, difficult, and very individualized decisions that have significant ramifications upon your life. We need answers to questions like these. And when God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, submit to him, he will make your paths straight. That not only includes the clear commands in scripture, that includes the unclear, complex decisions. God wants to make your path straight. God wants to give you light. He does not want you to walk in the darkness. He wants you to move forward with confidence. How do you get that when it comes to complex decision making? Well, before we talk about how to do it, let's think about this one clause to tell us how not to do it, which is, he says, to lean not on your own understanding. This might be a creeping suspicion within some of our hearts, is, okay, God has a plan for my life, cool, but what about my plan for my life? What about my dreams? What about my aspirations? What about my desires? Great question, right? That's something that we absolutely need to consider. And I think there's a ton of ways you could nuance this, and there's a much longer discussion. But I'll give you at least one proverb that I think is relevant to the discussion, which is Proverbs 14:12. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, am I saying that the plan you have in your heart is going to spell your doom? No. Okay, I'm not saying that. I don't know what's going on in your heart, but I do know this. I will say this. That as human beings, we have a propensity to come up with plans that seem great, but blow up in our faces later. And to convince you of this, I only need to remind you of the choices you made when you were in middle school. But think about that. Think about that horrible time. The clothes that you adopted, the music choices, the trends that you were inspired by, the hairstyles you chose. You look back at that and you cringe. You thought you were so cool and you were a loser. Look, I know that we're older now. Okay, we're not 11, we're 20, we're 25. But we still don't know what we're doing. Okay, and we're gonna get forward in life. And there's a possibility for some of us that we're going to go our own way and we're going to look back in 5, 10, 20, 50 years and say, where did this all go wrong? I thought I knew where I was going, and in reality, I was walking into death. How do we avoid that trap? Right? It's by following God's will. God has a great plan for us that he created from the beginning. Consider this in Psalm 139, that God has had a plan for you since before you were even born. Think about this language from David. He says, you created my inmost being, God. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame, it was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has known you longer than you have known yourself. He knows you better than you know yourself, and he has created a plan for you to live out, to fulfill you, something that is bigger than yourself, that is greater than yourself, that the way you were designed to live. He has that for you. He wants you to know it. He wants you to be a part of it. And so let's think about five ways to discern, to understand God's will for your life, starting with, most importantly, the Bible. Proverbs 18, verse 15. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. If you want to understand God's will, you need to read God's words. You need to read what he's revealed in Scripture. That is going to give you the best understanding. That's where you acquire God's knowledge and you will understand his will. You will get wisdom, okay? Now, it's important, as I've said, you're not gonna get a Bible verse to tell you where to live or who to marry or whatever, but biblical principles can make complex decision-making much simpler. Consider, for instance, this verse, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Okay, what are the principles that underlie these verses? It's that you need to be a part of a Christian community that regularly meets together, right? You're not forsaking, you're assembling together. You need to be a part of a Christian community where you can consider how to spur people on, how to encourage other people. That means you need to know them well enough that you can actually legitimately, personally encourage them. So think about this. If you're deciding where to live, and let's say you have three different options of the next city to live in, the way you apply biblical principles to that decision is, do these cities have a Christian community where I can be personally involved enough that I'm regularly meeting with them, and I know them well enough that I can encourage and be encouraged myself? If one of those cities doesn't have that, you can presumably rule it out. Okay, so that's how we take biblical principles and apply it to complex decisions. We look at these things and it helps inform our decision-making, even if you don't have a Bible verse that you're gonna open up and says, move to Seattle. You don't necessarily need that. Okay, you can take these biblical principles and apply them. Now, the Bible also tells us what's going on in our hearts. Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God, it's alive, it's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When you open your Bible, God will open your heart to you. Okay? He's going to reveal to you what's going on internally. He's going to show you what you really want, what you need, what you really desire in your inmost being. And this is just a product of regularly putting yourself in front of God's truth in the Bible daily. This is something that we need to do. And so the question really for you is, as you're trying to acquire God's will, is do you seek out God's will? Right? I like that phrase from Solomon. Do you seek it out? Do you pursue God's truth? Or are you someone who just kind of tolerates it, right? Like you're making a complex decision. You're like, if someone in my home church shares a Bible verse with me, I'll listen, I guess. I might think about it later, probably not, maybe. Or are you someone who even diminishes God's truth? It's not really relevant to what I'm doing. I got more pragmatic reasons, more pragmatic things to think about. There's nothing more pragmatic than thinking about what God has to say about this, okay? Do you seek out the truth of God? If you don't, you have no hope of finding God's will. You need to look to God's truth, the most important part. Second is prayer. Proverbs 15, 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Yes, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. Now, it's important for us to recognize that prayer is a two-way street. Okay, it's two-way relating. Some people take God as like this living sounding board. I'm just gonna like vent my problems to him and I'm gonna feel better. And look, God does wanna hear problems. I'm not saying he doesn't want that. But it's not just that we talk to God. God also talks to us. Prayer is two-way relating, like any good relationship. We don't wanna fall for the trap of mind reading with God. Do we? Have you ever had this in a relationship where you've done mind reading with your significant other, for example? I have. Let me share a story. So a couple years ago, my wife was giving me her annual reminder that I should buy her something for Valentine's Day. Because, you know, some of you men here are like your real romance experts, or as I like to call you, simps. And I'm not. I'm really bad at this. And so my wife reminds me yearly, you should get me something for Valentine's Day. Awesome. She's like, you should get me flowers. Okay, great. Flowers. I can do that. I got it. So I go to your flowers, and she's thinking like lilies or roses, and I get her like these like artificial bright carnations. And I'm like, my wife loves bright colors. She doesn't. I'm like, she would love it if I saved some money. She doesn't care. And so I gave them to her, and she was like, aw, I don't like these. Because she's not afraid to tell me how it is, thank God. So I thought I read her like a book, dude. And now I'm just a punchline for her stories with her friends, right? Like, I mean, God. The thing about sometimes the way we relate to people and we try to mind read them is that we think we know what they want when really we just want them to want what we want. You know what I'm saying, right? Like we just want you want them to want your desires. And same can be true with God, right? Where we pray to God, we say, you know, I prayed about it, so God must be behind me, right? God must be behind what I want for my life, because we've never actually listened. We've never actually paid attention to what God's trying to say. We just keep sounding off to him what we want, and we're assuming that God's getting behind us. No. That's not the way it works. God does not follow us. We follow him. And so we don't just sound off to God and say, hey, can you please bless my plan? We ask God, hey, what is your plan for me? We don't just speak to God, we listen. And so when you are praying, what I would advise you to do is just to, you know, take a couple minutes, throw your phone away to the other room, set a timer for a couple minutes on it, and just sit in silence. You can do it. Sit in silence before God and just try to hear from him a couple minutes a day. You'll be amazed. It doesn't happen every day, but you'll be amazed how often God will remind, he will fill your mind with some truth that is relevant to what you're praying about, or how he'll send someone into your life soon after who speaks to the very thing you were praying about. This will happen as you just take time to get silent before God. Third is reason. In Proverbs 8, verse 14, wisdom is personified by Solomon, and he says, counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight, I have power. This word for counsel in Hebrew, it can refer to having a plan, having a plan. One of the ways we understand God's will is just simply by having a strategic, well-reasoned plan. And that might not sound super like spiritual to you, but when you look at the New Testament authors and their plans, they often just acted out of strategy. In fact, more often than not, they did not get like this divine direction from God, but rather they thought strategically, where should we go next? What should we do? Where should we preach? And then they went and they did it. Now, we do need to be open to the fact that God may have other plans. Sometimes the most reasonable idea is not necessarily the right idea. Okay, like for example, Acts 8, Philip is preaching and he's in Samaria. And all of these Samaritans are coming to Christ. It's like this booming revival movement. People are so excited about Jesus. It's just so amazing. Everything's awesome. And Philip is presumably very excited about this. And then in verse 24, we read that an angel of the Lord comes to Philip and says, hey, go to the desert. And if I were Philip, I'd be like, hey, God, I don't know if you know this, but there are like a lot of people coming to Christ here. A lot of people need help. I'm actually kind of at the center of it. And people don't live in the desert. Why would I go there? I mean, it's like the least strategic decision ever. Philip, being the better Christian than me, listens and he goes. And when he gets to the desert, he finds an Ethiopian man there who is eager to learn about Christ. Philip gives him the gospel, he comes to Christ, and that man takes the gospel into Africa. Okay, that never would have happened if Philip didn't listen to God. And so sometimes the most reasonable decision to us is not necessarily the right one. That being said, that doesn't mean we throw reason out the window. We should think strategically. We should think carefully about what might be the most strategic thing for God's kingdom. A way you can do this is by just making a pros and cons list. Make it simple. Take the decision that you're making, take the different options that you have, and write out the pros and cons of your decision. Incorporate scripture. What does God have to say about your pros and cons? If there's no scripture on one of the decisions, maybe you have your answer, right? That might be making things a little bit more clear for you. Number four, mature advice. Yes, the Proverbs specifically have a ton to say about getting mature advice. 11:14, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. 12:15, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. If you want to know God's will, you need to seek out mature Christians to give you advice. People who've been there, who've done this, who've trusted God, who have struggled through these things before. You need to get their counsel. If you're someone who just wants to accumulate a bunch of advice only to do what you were going to do anyway, don't bother. Okay, if you want an echo chamber, just don't waste anyone's time. Just do what you were going to do in the first place. But be prepared for the consequences of choosing your own way and neglecting mature advice, which is well illustrated, sadly, in the life and death of one Reggie Lewis. Lewis was a basketball star for the Celtics back in the late 80s and 90s. He was an all-star in 1992, averaged over 20 points per game in his final two seasons. And in the opening round playoff series for the Celtics back in April of 1993, he fainted on the court, down for several seconds. The next day, he was checked into a local hospital there in New England and was diagnosed with focal cardiomyopathy. This is a heart condition that causes an irregular heartbeat that can result in heart failure. Now, he was not just treated by one doctor. He had a dream team, the Celtics said, a dream team of heart doctors who were treating him, who were present and who gave him this prognosis. This is a career-ending injury. You cannot play basketball anymore. You very well could die. Lewis was not thrilled with the diagnosis. He wanted to continue to play basketball, and so he sought out a second opinion, which was really a 13th opinion because there were 12 doctors on site for the original prognosis. And that doctor diagnosed him with a benign fainting disorder. Non-fatal. You just faint from time to time. And it's something that people have, vasovagal sympathy. It's a symptom that many people have, a condition. And, that's what he gave him. He didn't even tell him to start working out again. He just told him, this isn't a fatal condition. Lewis was excited about the news. So just 3 months later, in July of 1993, 3 months after fainting on the court, he resumed working out and was found dead on a basketball court suffering a sudden heart attack. Now, some of us are getting a lot of mature counsel in our lives when it comes to a complex decision. And it's not that the advice isn't sound. It's not that the advice isn't a consensus. It's not that the advice isn't good. It's that the advice is not what you want to hear. And look, you are in charge of your life, okay? People who give you advice are not in charge of your life. I'm not in charge of your life. You are in charge of your life, and you decide what you're going to do with your life. But I'm telling you that if you choose to ignore mature counsel, you need to be prepared for your spiritual life to suffer the same fate as Reggie Lewis. Death. It could spell the doom of your spiritual life to ignore mature advice and continue to go in your own way. That is a very distinct possibility for us. So we need to tread carefully when we're going against mature advice. Fifth and finally is personal desire. This is important, okay? I don't like when I hear Christians say, I got this thing that I really want, so God must not want it for me. I hate that. Like, why would you say that? What are you saying about God that he is just like automatically against anything that you like? Why would we say that about God? Guys, that's not how God is. God created us with our desires, okay? Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. I mentioned it last because your personal desires should not be central to your decision-making, but it is a really good tiebreaker, especially when you have multiple decisions. It's unclear which one you should take. You're thinking, you know, I would really prefer to take this route instead of this one. Do it. All things being equal, like do what sounds best to you. Your personal desire does matter. I will caveat it this one time with this quote that I think is really good. C.S. Lewis. He says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Yeah, your personal desire, right? Like, for example, you might have a personal desire for intimacy. That's a good desire. That's a good thing to desire. That's a good thing to want. But if you're thinking, I should go fulfill that by going and watching pornography, not good. Right? That's not a good way to fulfill that desire. It's actually a bad way. It's an immoral way to fulfill your desire. It's not that your desire is wrong. It's that the way you're trying to achieve it is wrong. And so we need to be careful with personal desire to make sure that we're actually going God's way on how we fulfill that instead of going maybe for the quick fix, the counterfeit that won't actually leave us satisfied. Now, before we conclude, I want to think about a couple of prohibitive attitudes that would just totally skew our understanding of God's will. Just three. Number one, the idea that God's will is the same for every Christian. Oh man, I see a lot of Christians who just are blindly giving advice about complex decisions based on what they have personally experienced and what God has personally said to them. God said it to me, he must want to say it to you too. Wrong. We are not like cookie cutter automatons who just all have to do the same thing. God's will for each of us is going to vary. There are things that are the same. God wants all of us to, for instance, share our faith and make disciples. God wants all of us to live within Christian community. God wants all of us to preach the gospel. But there are things about the complex decisions that we make that are going to be different. And so we need to be careful to avoid just giving advice based on our life instead of listening to what God might be saying to the individual with whom we're giving advice. Second, God will work things out no matter what I do. Oh, look at this. This is so spiritual. Is what Francis Schaeffer called super spirituality. And he meant that ironically. Oh man, God's just gonna work. Look at how spiritual you are. I wish I had faith like yours. Oh my God, God's just gonna work it out? God, you trust God so much. I wish I could be like you. No, wrong, right? We don't carry this attitude about anything else in life. You know, like, I'm not gonna study for my final in a couple months. God will work it out. It'll be fine. I'm not gonna like, think about whether or not to marry this girl. Yeah, we've only been dating a couple weeks and I haven't met her family and I don't really know anything about her inner workings or like what she's really like, what she desires or what she loves or what she's into or if she has any of the same interests as me. Gotta work it out. It'll be fine. You don't do that about anything in life. Why do we apply it to spiritual things? I'll tell you why. Often, I think people do this because they want to put a spiritual stamp on a selfish decision. Say, you know, this isn't a selfishness thing. This is a spiritual thing. God is going to work it out. It's going to be okay. Sounds more like you just want to do what you want to do. Third, I just feel like this decision is really right for me. Just feel it. Okay, I'm not anti-feelings. I'm not an anti-feelings man, okay? I'm into feelings. Good. Your personal desires, they matter. They're important, all right? I'm not going to discount the point I just made. But your feelings are not preeminent. Okay, they're not at the forefront of how you make spiritual complex decisions. You know this, okay? When you have a bad day and your feelings are telling you that you should get the tub of ice cream out of the freezer and that you should go pop on the latest TV show and you watch 6 hours of Severance, you're like, oh my God, this is crazy, right? And then you eat the whole tub of ice cream. What happens when that 6 hour binge fest is over? You feel horrible. Why? I'll tell you why. Your feelings were wrong. That wasn't what you needed. Now, Should you watch Severance? Of course you should. Should you eat ice cream sometimes? Absolutely. But was that what you needed to heal your depression? No. Your feelings were wrong. Your feelings are, they're fickle. They're prisoners of the moment. They seek out quick endorphin shots instead of what we really need. They're not rational. Why would we subject some of the most important decisions in our life to our fickle feelings? Why would we do that? That is spelling trouble. Your feelings today are not going to be the same as your feelings tomorrow, much less in 5 years or 50. Don't subject something so important to a good feeling. That's spelling trouble for yourself. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all else things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" That's a good verse to consider if you feel like your feelings are leading you the right way. All right, so to wrap up here, look, man, some of us are lost. Some of us are lost. We're trying to go. We're trying to find our way to the fulfillment, to the great relationships, to the joy. But we really don't know where we're going, and we need to stop and turn and have the humility to ask for help from someone who knows what they're talking about. That someone is God. We need to reach out to him. We need to ask him. We need to, like Proverbs 16:3 says, we need to commit to the Lord whatever we do, and he will establish our plans. Now, to commit your plans to God, what this means, it's not just knowing God's will. As we've seen here, it's not actually as complex as it appears to be. You can discern God's will when it comes to complex decisions. That's not the hard part. The hard part is following. That's the more difficult part. Now, of course, anything worthwhile in life is difficult. And I just want to remind you, I want to encourage you as you think about this, as you consider, am I going to follow my plan for my life, or am I going to discern and follow God's will for my life? That if you go God's way, you are not going to look back in your life in 5 years or 10 or 50 and say, where did all of this go wrong? You are going to look back at your life when you follow God, you're going to say, how did I get so lucky that this is the life that I got? And we follow God's will. We are in the center of the exact place we were designed to be, and there is no better feeling than being in the center of God's will for your life. Yes, Lord, we thank you so much that you cared enough, not just to think about us, not just to curate a plan for us, but to come to this filthy earth and suffer shame and die for us. Thank you for loving us to the point of being willing to take our place on the cross and suffer judgment for us. We pray for anyone here who has never begun a relationship with you and just introduced themselves to that plan. God, we pray that they would reach out and receive that tonight. And for those of us who have, God, we're going to be kind of struggling the rest of our lives, like battle between our own selfish desires and your will. And I just pray, God, that you will give us a spirit that will trust you, that will trust in your goodness, that will trust in your love. And I pray specifically for anyone here who is currently wrestling through a complex, difficult decision, that you will give them clarity to understand your will and humility to follow it instead of pursuing their own way. We thank you for anyone who chooses to do that. In Christ's name, amen.